saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? You see, they all gave attention. They all had opportunity. Now, I want you to follow me very carefully. I have just read to you one of the most important accounts in the history of this world. Way back in the book of Daniel, in chapter 9, Daniel said, in behalf of God's people, there's going to be a succession in history that's going to unfold one of the most important prophecies ever recorded in the Bible, known as the prophecy of the 70 weeks. And he said, you can mark this down. From the time that the city of Jerusalem and the temple of the Jews is rebuilt next in Jerusalem, you can go through a period of 70 weeks of years. Now that's 490 years, 70 times 7. 490 years. Knock off the last 7 years, the last week of years. And through a period of 69 weeks of years, that's 483 years, from the time the temple is rebuilt and the city is structured around it, you mark it off 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, 400 years, 480 years, 483 years, and to the very day. Now you check it out, and I know what I'm talking about. To the very day, that is the exact day that Jesus Christ rode that donkey into Jerusalem. The exact day. And what that means is this: I am sending you a prince, a king, who is offering himself to you to rule and to reign over you. And what you must do is submit to him on his terms. And when he comes, he will establish just reign over all the earth, beginning in Jerusalem and through his chosen people, the Jews. And that happened, recorded right there in the 21st chapter of Matthew. And Jesus seriously turned to the Jews and said, he's here. I am he about whom you read there. All you must do is surrender to me. What you must do is surrender to me, and I will establish reign through you over all the earth. But what did they say? One and all, they finally said, we do not want this man to reign over us. What is your decision about him then? Give us somebody else and take him out and crucify him. And that's what they did. And what happened? Now listen carefully. Instantly, in the prearranged plan of God, but in something man's mind has to see as a postponement, Jesus Christ turned from that form and went into what is known here as the mystery form of the kingdom. And it goes from that moment when Jesus ascended back to heaven to the moment when he is coming back with his church to rule over this earth. It now stretches to approximately 2,000 years. We are right at the end of it today. It has fallen into seven periods. They are pictured in these seven parables in this 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. The completion of this age, the number seven, always stands for a cycle of completeness. And when you look at the seven, we are right in here in those parables today. The church is being called out as God's pearl of great price. And we are leveling in, zeroing in on the final time of judgment at the close out of this age. And it is right on top of us, and we in turn are right on top of it. We will never be in that judgment because Jesus is coming to collect out his church. And when he comes, all hell is going to break loose on the earth. And then those who will not listen now will wish with all there is to them that they had an opportunity to listen carefully to what they should have heard before. But man chooses to go his own way. He says, we will not have this man to reign over us. Why? Because we want to do it ourselves. We want to be our own king. We want to be our own God. That's what sin is. S-I-N. It is me in control of my own situation in deference to me as over against Jesus Christ. And so he postponed that serious offer of the kingdom. You say, well, now wait. You mean God postpone something he had in his plan? Yes and no. You see, God knew all the time exactly what would happen. And this was not an afterthought. But from our standpoint, it was a postponement. That's nothing new. Let me give you an illustration of this. You remember the children of Israel came out of Egypt under the blood, under the awful economy of God, where he had sprung them loose by shedding of blood. And they came under that covering of blood, celebrating by eating the animal that was offered. the symbol of our feeding upon Jesus and under His blood. And they went into the wilderness, and God brought them through the wilderness in less than 2 years and right up to the borders of the land where He wanted them to go in. And they got up on a high prominence and looked over into the land, decided to send in scouts to scout it out and spies to see what kind of land it was, and would not listen to God to go right on in and take it. God said, "You are well able to take it. In My name, I am with you. Go on in and take it." But they wouldn't listen. They sent spies in. The spies came back. There were 12 of them. 10 said, "We cannot do it. We are like grasshoppers, and they are like giants. They will simply swarm all over us and possess and destroy us. We cannot do it." But the 2 spies in the minority said, "Listen, you put in 2 G's, but you left out the big one. What about God?" He said, "We're well able to take it. Let us go up at once and take it." And they wanted to stone those 2 in the minority unto death. And so what did God do? He postponed their entrance into land, turned them around, and for 38 long, desperate years, an entire generation wandered and meandered there in the wilderness and died in order that a new generation altogether might rise up believing the promises of God and go into the land. Now, this is just exactly the same way. You see, God knew all the time exactly what they would do. From a human standpoint, it was a postponement. From the divine standpoint, God is on schedule. And there are 7 periods in this history. Now, I wish we had time tonight to see them. Let me just mention to you what they are. 7 parables. And if you haven't been here previously, please study this 13th chapter of Matthew. The first one is the parable of the soils. And it pictures the ministry of Jesus. It's not a part of the kingdom of heaven. It's what introduces that. It's His ministry before He ascended. You'll notice that parable does not begin like all the others do. It begins simply by saying a sower went out to sow. The others begin by saying the kingdom of heaven is like unto. So this one doesn't fall into those others. It's the beginning of them. It introduces that kingdom of heaven. That was necessary because somebody had to sow the seed, and Christ came as the seed and with the seed of truth. He was sown, and He sowed that truth. And so there you have the beginning. That covers His lifetime and His ministry, the parable of the soils. And then comes the parable of the tares. Now, this is the age of the apostles. The enemy is revealed, and he begins to re-sow. He begins to sow his falsehood alongside of Christ's truth, and it begins to get mingled up and mixed up together. In the very age of the apostles, Paul said, "The mystery of iniquity doth already work." That's one of the mystery truths. Why doesn't God kill it? It's a mystery. God allows it, according to that parable of the tares. Let it go on under the harvest. So you don't worry so much about iniquity. Worry about sowing the seed of truth, and let God take care of all the rest. That's the second age. And then in the third age, now listen to me carefully, the parable of the mustard seed, where with a little beginning and an irritating, burning message, it sprung up, and all of a sudden the top side of that plant went crazy. And it grew, instead of a little shrub, it became a massive tree divided up into many branches. Now listen carefully. In the 4th century after Christ, and any student of history will acknowledge this so rapidly, in the 4th century after Christ, a man named Constantine, a Roman emperor, Constantine the Great, by a decree of the Roman throne, as it were, took the umbrella of Christendom, Christianity, professing Christianity, and made it the state church for the entire Roman Empire. And right there before men's eyes, that tree just blossomed out everywhere and put out branches everywhere, and it covered everything. Everybody was in it. You couldn't tell a Christian from a non-Christian. Everybody came under the scope of the church. Now, that's that third parable right there, the parable of the mustard seed. And it starts in the 4th century and develops. Then when you come to the 5th century, or in the 500s, along in there, the parable of the leaven comes onto the scene. And it introduces the 1,000 years that history calls the Dark Ages. Here's what happened. The woman, representing a false religious system, takes leaven, representing falsehood and corruption, and sows it into the truth, the 3 measures of meal. She spreads it and kneads it into the truth, the 3 measures of meal. And there was introduced 1,000 years of darkness, where the Bible was taken away in its pure truth, from the